evening, everyone, from Studio 5. This is the Pilots Federation outside broadcast team, and this week we're invading Hutton Orbital and taking over the news. I'm Dickie Landing, and with me in the studio tonight, I have...
Willie Highwick. Evening, Dickie.
Evening, hello.
Now, this show might not be what you get used to, but it's what you're going to get, like it or not. We might even do it right, but there are no promises and no guarantees.
That sounds strangely familiar. On with the headlines.
Alarming ding-dong after Don Dunn in Wolf 359.
Lam Dunk Honk, a donk, breaks all records.
Hutton enjoys a little Strauss.
Mysterious Pilots Federation Maestro blasts off.
Blast Pleiades repairs. Our reporter reveals all.
All right.
Here at the Pilot... Hello? Sorry, I'm having someone talk in my ear. No? Okay. Here at the Pilots Federation, we are receiving reports of uncivil unrest and civil disobedience in the home system of the dastardly Don Antonacci. The Don's villa at Vert's Progress, previously the seat of power for the Camori di Lupi Tres Incanova, or for those who don't talk the Linga Mafia, Wolf 359, was repossessed this week after an investigation into tax irregularities. The system's owners, the Hutton Orbital Truckers, were awarded custody of the remaining assets in the system, whilst some very clever accountants tried to untangle the Don's well-woven wicked web of financial irregularities. Shortly afterward, a series of unfortunate accidents struck offices throughout the system, including paperwork going mysteriously missing, a series of small and clearly accidental fires localized in the rooms of the investigating team, someone leaving a horse's head in Intarius Fusion's bed, and cling film being stretched over all of the conveniences. So far, authorities have been unable to link any of these actions to the Don himself, but they're doing their best to pin it on him, along with a long list of minor misdemeanors and the funny noises coming from the pipework. The unrest has thrown Hutton's influence to an all-time low in the system, and hunting the Don has now become the highest priority. After breakfast.
Some explorers are content to spend 6 months flying to Beagle Point. Others earn their flight patch by delivering huge quantities of data to Hutton's base. But there is, however, a class of commander that crosses the line between everyday space madness and genuine insanity.
Are you okay, Willie? You sound different to how you sounded earlier.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Clearly.
Yeah, good.
There are two classes of galactic record. There are the heroic kind, records of feats of endurance, strength, and speed. The 100-meter zero-g dash, the low-g long jump, the high-g high jump, the over 50s under 60 kilograms powerlifting record, currently held by one progenitor Lel Wolf. Then there is the other kind, the how many naga chili pork scratchings can you eat in a row before exploding? How many golf balls can you stuff in your mouth kind? Commander the Bradigan had a dream. Brad wanted to do something new and different, and he had an idea. The largest single exploration transaction, one page of data. It would take meticulous planning and preparation, and the execution would be brutal for anybody that doesn't have the patience of a saint. Fortunately, Brad is a trucker from the Team Hotbox Wing, and patience in the face of ridiculousness is their bread and butter. So having built an explorer anaconda, the Cassiopeia, and loading her up with potato chips and Diet Coke, the stable diet of night shift truckers, he consulted one of the greatest minds of our time, Major General Noctivagus. Noctivagus, I do beg your pardon.
It's just your face.
Together they formulated a plan. With the plan in place, there was only one final thing to do, a quick flight to Hutton to collect a ton of mugs. From the bubble to Colonia, and from there to the Great Annihilator, onward to Beagle Point, back to Colonia, then onward back to the bubble. 150,000 light years in 3 months. Only the juiciest system scanned. And on his return, one page, one click. 119,797,918 credits. As far as we're aware, there's been no previous attempt at this record. We wonder why. So for now, unless anybody can challenge to the contrary, we would like to congratulate Commander the Bradigan on setting a new record. That's some chunky slam dunk on the dunk exploring, Commander. Hashtag for the mug.
For the mug.
We noticed that Universal Cartographics has been given plaudits this week for redrawing the galaxy, so that the Alliance looks a little bit less tiny. Apparently, it always looked bigger from below, so they turned everyone's maps upside down. It also makes Fargoid-infested space look a little bit further away.
A lot of text. Hand in hand with the eviction of the Don from his comfy chair, Horton Arbitals enjoyed a little Strauss this week, of the stone-washed kind. Levi Strauss installation in Barnard's star.
Oh, Dickie.
I'm sorry, I've had a tibble.
Did, Dickie.
However, the double-denim, double-breasted dinner suit has fallen under the dubious leadership of the dog and his ownership. And his followers is what I meant to say. Formerly the headquarters of the galaxy's roughest, toughest trouser tailors, a title held these days by the cargo pants of George Pantazes. Levi Strauss's final line was jeans for your jeans, tailored to your very DNA to give you the perfect leg line and complete your animal skin ankle boot and Stetson ensemble. After a scandal involving Catwood clothes horse, Commander Sandy Samarco,
yes,
defecting to a clothier with a lot more velour and fewer crotch rivets and a trend for trousers with half the material ripped to shreds amongst youngsters, the company's fortunes fell into decline. These days, the Orbital is part of the Hutton's refinery operation, a far cry from the shrink-fit denim and the Dockers brand cargo pants, strangely appropriate given that it's Barnard. I can never say that correctly. I do apologise to you.
Dickie, never mind.
I mean, whatever you want.
My name's Willie.
I do apologise.
Willie Highwick.
An inglorious end to 1,431 years of supplying truckers with their smartest legwear. I do not envy you having to read this one.
There was wonder this week at Founders World as a mysterious jumper wearing galactic entrepreneur Commander Braben, I'm fairly certain I stressed that incorrectly, honored the anniversary of the first Falcon Heavy liftoff with his own slightly bonkers launch. The commander, said by many to be the real power behind the Federation and the Empire, not the Alliance though, an inventor of hypergloop, the super sticky, sticky stuff you stick stuff to stuff with but comes unstuck when you want, is the founder of Frontier Developments, the company behind the Pilots Federation.
His voices!
Working hand in hand with Lacon Spaceways, he launched a specially modified Type 7 with a jump range of just over 70 light years, and containing no less than his very own Red Scarab, complete with dummy pilots in the general direction of Sagittarius A. I do beg your pardon, Dickie. The launch of the ship was a roaring success, with the autopilot perfectly moving the modified Winnebago with wings out of the toast rack with only minor scratches and the flameship drive engaging without destroying itself. Shortly after this, Commander Braben realized that he'd left the keys to his new Pilots Federation offices in the ring within... In the Scarabs.
Yeah, sure.
Something. Plans for this upgraded Type 7 were unfortunately leaked to the Galactic Test Simulator run by the Pilots Federation, causing a minor hoo-ha, as explorers realized that their prime Anaconda lightyear-eating jump machines were rendered redundant. An announcement by former Galactic intern Ed Lewis, he was removed from this position after reaching an age where it was utterly inappropriate to still be an intern and was given new duties, stated that the Braben Special Type 7 would not be released to the general pilot population, as it was most likely to detonate on jumping, injuring everyone horribly and causing a space-time rift. That would be bad, Dickie.
Oh, terrible.
There would, however, be a little magic that had been applied to the Type 9 last week, and building in some lighter bulkheads and a better distributor, which was their intention all along.
Yes. And finally, following an extensive investigation into exactly why the Pleiades repairs require more materials, he's not happy about this. Sandy's looking panicked. Why the Pleiades repair require more materials than the original station construction efforts, our roving reporters, collared one Eddie Lee Wise, tailor to Lave Station, for an explanation.
Repairing stations not unlike my normal day job,
he stated.
Welding the buttressing into Psycho Cow's gusset, or beating the underwiring of Phoenix Defier's gusset into shape, is much the same as fixing a burning ring out in Pleiades,
he added.
The initial request for materials to build stations was just for raw items needed to bolt the prefab units together, As anyone who's ever had their vehicle serviced by a main dealer knows, repairing is always exponentially more expensive than just chucking it all in the bin. This is a genuine 3303 antique. They don't make them like this anymore. A pump that could suck a golf ball through 30 foot of garden hose with no lubrication needs proper care. If you've got bent governor on your lift mechanism, you can't just hit it with hammer. It needs the right parts.
which explains the 100,000 tons of titanium. Those were this week's news headlines, as brought to you by the Pilots Federation and absolutely not Frontier Developments. We do not endorse this in any way. Oh dear.